Welcome to the Salem Alliance Church Podcast. To learn more about Salem Alliance, including life groups, gathering times, and other resources, visit us online at salemalliance.org. Today's talk is given by Rob Basham.
One of the joys of getting to do what I get to do is I get to connect with so many of our Missio students, formerly RTI, and just celebrate when they return home what God is doing in their different places, whether it be some of our graduates and alumni that are serving in places like South Dakota or in the nations like Kosovo and West Africa. And I just want to remind you, we do have a school, and it's an awesome college. It's a four-year, fully accredited school. College that prepares men and women for vocational ministry, debt-free and field-ready. And one of the reasons it's able to be debt-free is because so many of you showed up this past week at our fundraiser, our dessert fundraiser, and heard stories of what God is doing. You met many of our alumni, and so thank you to the many of you in the room that did, to the many of you in the room that continually give. You got to meet students. I know you're praying for them, you're encouraging them, and we hit our goal of raising $100,000 to continue that debt-free deal. Let's celebrate that. That's a big deal. But a few weeks ago, I was able to sit and have lunch and catch up a little bit with Macy and hear more details about what it is that she's stepping into, what God is calling her to, and it's a heavy ministry. It'd be a lot easier to go teach English in a classroom or do a kind of agricultural project, but Macy, you've been called into something difficult. You've been called to minister into a city that is known for an industry that is not following the ways of the kingdom. I know when I heard her describe the realities of her city and then went back to my office that different feelings were arising in me. And I wonder for you, as she shared with us this morning, what were the feelings that were kind of surfacing in you? For some of us in this room, it was likely sadness and some empathy, maybe some compassion. For others, there was an overwhelming hopelessness. Our world is so dark. One more thing that is so broken in our world. For others in this room, it was just this kind of frustration and confusion. Why isn't more being done? Where is the government involvement? Why are they not doing more to stop such a thing? And one of the probably most common emotion that was experienced in this room was anger. A healthy anger, a righteous anger, because we as followers of Jesus have been given these lenses that see the injustice. Because we've been given glimpses of heaven where things are the way they were intended to be, and what we see are many things in our world that are not. Whether anger was a primary or a secondary emotion for you, I just want to dig one layer deeper on that and ask the question, who is it that you're angry at? Who is it that you're directing that anger towards? I know as I processed after having this lunch, for me, it started with the tourists flying in for Europe. I had an anger towards them, and for some of us, it's an anger towards those who are controlling and profiting from what is happening. The ones that recruited and are keeping just kind of a level of bondage on these men and women. For others in this room, you went straight to the government and the fact that they're turning a blind eye because of the tourism dollars that it's bringing in that do benefit the country as a whole. For a few in this room, anger might have even extended to those that are in the desperate situation, caught in the broken situations and systems. And though you see them as victims, you still have a little bit of anger at their willingness to engage in such an industry. Who is our anger pointed toward? Well, I want you to just hold those feelings that are surfacing for a moment. And would you open your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 6? We're just looking at this one verse. We'll also put it on the screen. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. But Ephesians chapter 6 reminds us, it says, "For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places." Macy, today we remind you who the true enemy is. And church family, today we are reminded who the true enemy is. There is nothing wrong with our righteous anger being aimed at the tourists or those profiting from this trade. But do not forget that the enemy's job description is to kill, steal, and destroy, to keep people, to keep cities in bondage. Brokenness abounds, and the true one that we want to be invited today to direct our righteous anger towards is the enemy. Satan, the devil. And today I want us to extend our righteous anger towards him. And I want us to particularly engage in what we call intercessory prayer. Today I want to just look at what that is. I want us to talk through and I want to invite you to pray in new and powerful ways. As we've heard from both Mickey's letter and then even asking Macy of what her prayer requests would be, this concept of prayer works and intercessory prayer is what we're hearing over and over. Here, Paul is telling this church in Ephesus that so much of what is actually happening is happening behind the scenes in the unseen realm, and we as followers of Jesus need to be aware of what is taking place. I know it seems a bit strange and it's tough to even talk about at times. Our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against mighty powers and authorities in the unseen realm. And Paul's statement to this church in Ephesus is a big statement. I must confess that in the early years of ministry, I didn't really know how to engage or what to think about this. It seemed just kind of like, I don't really know. I like things that are rational, that I can see and touch and understand, that there's this warring happening behind a veil. And yet, being sent to a dark city looking to, you know, trailblaze some new roads to bring the kingdom of God there, much like Macy is about to do, gave me new insights as I personally was experiencing the oppression and the heaviness of a dark city. And church family, it's real. The number of times that intercessors were awakened in the middle of night with a dream or a vision and would send us a text that would be the next day for us, and they always came at these perfect times where, yes, we needed protection in that moment. Yes, we needed wisdom and discernment as we began to step into a difficult meeting. Over and over, I saw that what is happening in the transcendent, in the heavenly realms, is honestly affecting what is happening here on earth. And so this morning, I want to unpack a bit what intercession is and invite us into new levels of engaging with it. Richard Foster, the spiritual formation author, describes intercessory prayer as our sacred obligation and also our precious, precious privilege. Our sacred obligation, but also a precious privilege. It's a priestly ministry. It's when believers get to go before God on behalf of other people, of people groups, of nations, of different countries and regions. It's something that we are invited to do. One of the places where we kind of see it happening is in a story in Exodus 17. And we have this story where Joshua is in a physical battle. Joshua is fighting against flesh and blood. The Israelites are fighting the Amalekites, and he's there, and there's this battle happening. He's in the physical battle, but Moses is up on a hill. He's in a spiritual battle. He's engaged in this intercessory warfare up on the mountain. And those of you that are familiar with the story, you know that anytime Moses lifts his hand and holds his rod up, the Israelites are taking ground in the battle. But when the intercession stops and ceases and he puts his hands down, the enemy, the Amalekites, are starting to win in the battle. And here is this incredible glimpse of the power of intercessory prayer. Now, growing up, I always picked Moses as this just strong man that's got his hands up for hours at a time, and they're taking hold of this. And many of you know it's hard to keep your hands up for an extended period of time. I mean, to be honest with you, on days when the Spirit is moving in this room and we got four services going on, by the end of the day after worshiping, I'm a little tired. Probably not going to hit shoulders that day at the gym. Just a lot. Or if you've ever put sheetrock up on a roof, you know, on the ceiling, that is not an easy deal. But there's another lesson that we see here, because Moses doesn't go at it alone. And intercession is always best when it's done in community. And the way the story goes is that as Moses' arms tired, two brothers came alongside him, Aaron and Hur, and they held his arms up until the victory was won. Our invitation today is not just personal intercession for the nations, for other people, but our invitation today is to do it in community. Intercession is a foundational way that heaven comes to earth. We need people like Macy. She is the Joshua in this story, the boots on the ground, bringing compassion and love to the people in her dark city. But don't underestimate our role as Moses, as Aaron, as her in this story. Our role is important as well. We are the ones that are in the spiritual realms, pushing back the darkness, breaking the strongholds in Jesus' name. We are the ones that intercede, hindering evil from having its way. We are the ones who intercede, releasing light into this dark city. We are the ones that get to intercede in the name of Jesus, the name above every other name. We do so with no fear because his name is greater than any other name in the unseen realm. Reflecting on his years in Egypt and Arabia, Samuel Zwemer famously said, "The history of missions is a history of answered prayer." The history of missions is a history of answered prayer. Look, Macy said it like three times in that interview, prayer works. She said it almost as though she's surprised, like prayer actually works. Mickey in her letter just reminded us prayer works, and I get how trite that can sound. But it's true. Our prayers change eternity. Our prayers break injustice. Our prayers set captives free. This is why our calling today is to engage in intercessory prayer. There's three things that I briefly want to share with you of just more reasons why I think this is an important invitation for us as a church in this time and place. One of those is I believe it counters us feeling overwhelmed. I don't know where you are, but the brokenness of our world abounds. And with all the news being thrown at us all the time, I oftentimes find myself being overwhelmed. I know I'm not alone in saying that I've kind of turned down the volume in the intake of news that I can handle right now. I feel at times a bit helpless. And what difference can I make in our nation and in the global world structures? Well, the good thing about intercessory prayer is it actually works, and it allows you to engage in a way that says, I am making a difference. I'm not just receiving all this overwhelming news, I'm taking action on it. It's a powerful thing. I think it's one of the many antidotes that keep us from just numbing and turning off the news and walking in a bit of ignorance, but it allows us an actionable step. As you remember, last fall, I spent a week or so in Burkina Faso, and terrible atrocities were happening during that time. Many of our churches were being burned, and many people were losing their lives for their faith, and these terrorists were overtaking villages one at a time. And as I met with the pastors there, I saw just the tragedy, and I saw firsthand what was happening. We as a church responded through prayer and intercession and by taking a Thanksgiving offering that would allow them to host a conference to kind of just talk through trauma and equip many of the leaders in the nation to then take that trauma counseling back to their villages. Well, that happened in early February, and I just received even this past week kind of an update of what happened there. Your Thanksgiving offering allowed 54 leaders from throughout that country to receive that training and then take it back. But as I read through the detailed report, I recognized that though the training was super valuable, there was something else that was incredibly valuable for the pastors there. Because my brother, president of the churches, Alliance Churches there, Job, began his address by saying, "Brothers and sisters, we are not alone." This is how the conference began. We are not alone. There are churches in America that are standing with us during this difficult season. They've not only given to allow this conference to actually happen, but they are with us in intercession. Church family, our prayers counter the overwhelmingness that they experience and the overwhelmingness that we also are experiencing. Our prayers carry weight in the heavenlies. The second reason I want to encourage you to engage is because it expands our view of God and the world. It is so easy. We're so prone to get stuck and only concerned about our corner of the world. But by engaging in prayer and intercession for the nations, it just allows us to see a greater perspective, a global perspective. And as we do that, it builds new levels of just understanding, empathy, humility, a love of other cultures. It's a powerful thing. Honestly, I think the more we do this, the less culture shock we'll experience in the new heavens and the new earth. It's part of our preparation for our eternity, to be with our brothers and sisters, every culture, tribe, and tongue, all created in His image. The third reason I think we need to do this is because it's our calling. The kingdom is a collective movement. Macy's call is by extension our call. You see, we trained her, we laid hands on her and sent her, and God has directed her to this city for this time, and we, church, are her intercessors. It is our privilege and our obligation. It's a calling that has been ordained by God to bring light to this dark city. And so we join her, empowered by the power and authority of Jesus. John 14, 13 reminds us, when we ask for kingdom things in Jesus' name, it not only breaks through in the heavenlies, but it also brings glory to the Father. It's also a form of worship. Macy told me when we were having lunch that some pastors have come from surrounding nations to kind of just minister in this town. She said that most of them leave after just a couple of weeks because the darkness and the oppression is so heavy and they feel lost. And I get that. I've been there. I've seen many people come to the town I ministered in the Middle East and leave after a short time because the strongholds were so real. Because of the things that started to happen to them when they tried to sleep and the panic and all these different things. And church family, our invitation is to be the praying people that declare the ways of heaven here on earth. We are the ones that get to break these strongholds. How do we do this? Well, go back to the feelings that were rising up and surfacing in you as Macy shared. That righteous anger, the hearts of justice, the empathy, the compassion, and engage with those. Invite the heart of God into that. Go after the enemy, but declare the heart of God over her city, His justice, His compassion, His intended purposes for the people there that He wants to set free. Church family, that is intercession at its finest. And we're called to do it. It's not easy. Oftentimes we get fired up and we do it for a season, but to do it in a sustained way is never easy because the results are not always there in front of us. They're not always tangible. But if the Spirit is prompting you to be a Moses, an Aaron, or a Hur, take that mantle. Walk in this spiritual authority that you have been given, and I bless you today with persistence and perseverance like that of the widow we read about in Luke chapter 18. As we close, I want to give us two ways to engage in this, and then I want to invite us to do this corporately today. Two ways that you can engage, simple things. The first, can I encourage you to pray the simple prayer, "Your kingdom come, your will be done," every morning when you get dressed. It's taken straight from the Lord's Prayer. We're declaring the ways of heaven here on earth. And the bottom line is that our world is a global world, and the countries represented by the clothing worn in this room covers much of the world. Today, I was able to pray for Sri Lanka and Vietnam as I got dressed. I wonder where your clothes were made. It is a simple reminder each day to simply look quickly at the tag and pray for those nations. A second way I want to invite you to engage is through some resources. Two that I would recommend. One is called PrayerCast. If you go to their website, you'll find these incredible videos for almost every nation in the world. They give you just a glimpse visually of what that nation is like. And they pray out intercessory prayers that you simply watch and agree with. There's a power as we agree in Jesus' name. The other resource is the Joshua Project. They do a lot of research in multiple countries, and they meet with local pastors, and they put out prayer requests, and they give you a lot of stats and different things to pray into, and I encourage you to download their app or receive their daily emails to engage in intercession for our world. But I don't want to just encourage you to do it today. I want to invite us to corporately do it. And so as the worship team comes back to lead us in a final song, I invite you, I've written some intercessory prayers for five nations, five regions today, and I would invite you to stand as we collectively read these together and intercede for our global world. We begin with Ecuador. Your kingdom come, your will be done in Ecuador. Fill this country with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Bring spiritual awakening and justice to this nation. Bring unity to your church and spiritual and economic flourishing to the next generation. Your kingdom come, your will be done in the Middle East. Release peace through prayer and thanksgiving. Transform conflict into reconciliation and release your truth into the region you once walked. Make yourself known through dreams and visions. Your kingdom come, your will be done in Kosovo. Bind up the brokenhearted. Proclaim freedom for the captives and release prisoners from darkness. Heal historical wounds and bring restoration to families. Reveal the love of the Father in fresh and creative ways. Your kingdom come, your will be done in the Democratic Republic of Congo. We declare Isaiah 58, may their strength be restored. May they be like a well-watered garden, like an ever-flowing spring. Lord, bring stability, provision, and hope to this war-torn region. Your kingdom come, your will be done in Thailand. Fulfill the promise of Psalm 22, that all the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will bow down before you. Bring spiritual renewal, freedom from exploitation, and a fresh outpouring of your Spirit upon this land. We ask all these things in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Salem Alliance podcast. We hope you have been challenged and inspired. Salem Alliance is a community of believers located in downtown Salem, Oregon, and we are passionate about our city being a city at peace with God. To experience other messages and discover more about who we are, please visit salemalliance.org or download the Salem Alliance app. And again, thanks for listening.